The first reading for the Festival of Reformation is from Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied about until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The story of a little bird that got into a glass stairwell about three stories high. Somebody left the door open, the little bird got in, and it was trying to get out. So, of course, what's the bird do? It sees where freedom is, and keeps banging into the glass. And this young man wanted to get this bird out. So picture this. He's trying to chase down a bird in a three-story stairwell, probably getting his exercise for the day. He's figuring if he can catch it, he can let it out. If the bird rests, maybe he can catch it with his hand and let it out. But finally, the bird flies right at one of the windows, hits it head-on, falls to the ground, and the guy's thinking that the bird's dead. So he goes running up to the bird, and the bird's chest is thumping away, so he knows the bird's just knocked itself out. All of its effort has been for vain. It's exhausted. So he picks up the little bird, and he takes it to the door, he goes out and he puts it on the ground, and then he steps back and waits. And just in a few seconds, the little bird gets back up on its feet, kind of shakes it off a bit, and then flies off to a nearby tree. That story, the little bird in the stairwell, has a lot to do with Reformation Sunday. Martin Luther had a serious problem. He knew that he was trapped in a sinful world with no way out of it. There was not a solution to sin. And being a priest, he knew the passage from Jeremiah 31:30. Everyone will die for his sin. At this time, when Luther was alive, even many of the priests did not understand the scripture. There are accounts that some priests couldn't even read. So they mumbled through the service to the best of their ability, and the people mumbled back some sort of an answer, and that passed for worship in some congregations. The Pope, the cardinals, the bishops, they made the decrees on what people were to believe. And at Luther's time, the bishops and the cardinals and the Pope realized this is good that we tell them what to believe, because we'll tell them a story, have enough money come in so we can build the Sistine Chapel. The Catholic message had been, you must obey God's law perfectly or else you're going straight to hell. According to them, there was no way to perfectly obey God's law. And we would concur with that. We cannot perfectly obey God's law. We can fly into all the glass windows we want to free ourselves, but we're not going to find freedom our way. And Luther would spend hours confessing his sins. Excuse me. His good friend von Staupitz one time had to listen to 6 hours of confession by Luther. How do you confess for 6 straight hours? This is how burdened Luther was by his sin. It's easy to kind of laugh at 6 hours, being able to confess at 6 hours of listening to it. But that just shows how burdened Luther was. And I mentioned how the bishops and the cardinals and the Pope came up with a solution to build the Sistine Chapel. They basically had, as the old Monopoly game had, a get-out-of-free-jail card. By buying one of these, they're called indulgences, you could free somebody who was in purgatory. Purgatory was a temporary holding place where you suffered. To explain briefly what the Catholics teach on this is this. When Christ died on the cross, his death was only good for your original sin. You know, the sin that you inherit from Adam and Eve. After that, you have to atone yourself for all your sins that you commit from birth until death. And if you don't atone for all of them, you go to this lovely place called purgatory where you suffer X number of years until you paid for all your sins. Then you can go to heaven. Someday I'm going to ask a priest this question. I know that when I go to a funeral and I'm officiating or I'm just going as, you know, to share in the grief at a funeral, I always will mention, you know, the person's now in heaven with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's a Catholic priest say? Congratulations, your loved one's suffering? I am. So help me, I'm going to find a priest and I'm going to ask that question. But you could buy your way out of this temporary hell. Luther had this absolute fear that a God that he believed loved people was going to abandon and condemn him. Now, Luther's friend, von Staupitz, he understood that by his study of the scripture, God was a loving God and Savior, that God was full of grace and truth. So Luther and Staupitz decided to start studying the scriptures for themselves. Not what the bishops and cardinals and Pope had to say, but what the scriptures themselves had to say. And in Wittenberg, Germany, they began the great journey to figure out what the scriptures truly taught. Luther took on the New Testament, Galatians and Romans. And he came up with this. Yes, we are condemned by the law. If we try to save ourselves by obeying God's law perfectly, we will fail and we will be lost. And he had to say the Catholic Church was right on that point. But, and there's the big but question or word, where we disagree is the fact that we are saved because of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. It has nothing to do with what I do along the way or if I sin, because I'm going to sin, because that is now part of my sinful human nature. And it changed Luther's life. Luther was not a saint by any stretch of the imagination, and he certainly was not a prophet. And Luther gets criticized a lot of times for things he would say. Imagine this. He's with his friend sitting in the bar, and he's having a couple of cold ones. That's where Lutheran ginger ale came from. Somebody said, "Dr. Luther, I got a question for you," and then he'd come up with an outrageous answer. Now, none of us have ever done that one, have we? Just giving somebody a stupid answer? Well, Luther gets criticized for that, but that's not part of the Reformation story. Luther came to understand that we have a loving God, that we also didn't need a priest to be able to read the scriptures. What the Catholic Church taught was this, that it was best for the people not to read the Bible alone, but to always read in the presence of a priest who would be able to understand it. Luther said that people needed the scriptures in their hands so that they could read for themselves what God's word had to say. And this is God's intervention in the human history. Prior to Luther, when a book needed to be printed, all right, they were hand done, which took forever to get a copy made. Von Gutenberg came up with a mobile printing press, which sped up the process incredibly, where they could print copies of the scriptures. Remember the old Xerox machines from the office days, how the barrel used to rotate? Well, that's sort of the theory behind Gutenberg's printing press. I'm dating myself by remembering those machines. But what happened is now the people could have the scriptures in their own hands. Then they started to realize that what the church was teaching was not exactly in alignment with scripture. Completely throughout human history, from the point where Adam and Eve first sinned, Romans 6:23 applies, "For the wages of sin is death." Now for the Paul Harvey moment, and now for the rest of the story. Von Staupitz had told Luther to surrender to the love of God. That God is a loving God who lived, died, and rose again for us. Surrender to the living God. And yes, we sin. Yes, we break God's law. Yes, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus paid the price for that. He wants everyone to believe, to have faith in what he has done, not to put our faith in ourselves and our own actions. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.